You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 1st of December, and just like that, the year is coming to an end. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Chantal Marks, Avenge. I mean, do we have anything left in our infrastructure to do sort of the building that we need? And then JP Morgan turns bullish on SA Inc., but man, Standard Bank nixed that with a horror trading update. Teresa, as PGMs and Chrome boost earnings, even under lockdown, Rhodium is doing a lot for them. We'll dig into that. Isaac Odendahl, inflation is tamed. It certainly has been. Will it rear its head again? Should we be worried, or is it tamed for good this time? The Monday question, what was your view on Sasol? 38% of you were buying, 9% selling, 53% were staying away, and a bunch of you, of course, were already holding. I suppose congrats to those folks. You've been doing lacquer here. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Some morning headlines, Financial Times. Janet Yellen is the right woman for the Times. Clever headline. She's coming back as essentially their finance minister, treasury secretary under President-elect Biden. I think she's a great pick. I think both sides are going to like her. She's very different to when she was Fed chair. But here's your random factoid. Her husband won in a 2001 Nobel Memorial Prize in Economic Sciences. And he's not even the most famous person in the household, and he won a Nobel. Business Day headline, Standard Bank sees years of pain ahead. This after that first round update, we'll chat with Chantal around that. U.S. markets, red, S&P off 0.5%, NASDAQ down 0.06%, literally 7 points down. Asia green, Sydney up 1.3%, and Turkey 1.6% higher. Commodities mixed, gold a little better at 1788, Rand weaker 1542, and top 40 opening call looking for an opening at green about 0.6% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks. She's head of research, FNB Wealth and Investment. Chantal, morning. Appreciate the time. Before we get into some numbers there, November, a really good month. France and Italy had their best months ever. Truthfully, not markets, I imagine. You follow. I don't follow. S&P up 11%. JSE was up 10%, even as we came off yesterday. A really good November, fueled in large part, I imagine, by the vaccine news, which kept on breaking as the month progressed.
Yes, it was. We had three big vaccine announcements in November. But apart from that, I think that what really gave the market kind of the catalyst that it needed to really make a strong show, or have a strong showing in November, was the fact that Donald Trump tweeted that he was willing to leave the White House. Because you remember, at the beginning of November, yeah, there was a lot of uncertainty around it. I mean, vaccine news broke, but you'd see the market move up for a day or two and then move back again because there was still this uncertainty about what was going on in the U.S. And with Donald Trump finally conceding that he will probably have to leave the White House, I think that's what really calmed markets down and allowed them to really run on the vaccine news.
No, that's a good point. Some sort of, you know, just that whole process actually working in the U.S. Avenge came out with results yesterday, a bit of a horror show. I got to say, at first blush, I thought they had made 5 cents a share. I missed the little negative sign in front. Bad mistake on my part. They're also sort of moving out of construction. And what I mean, my key point is, you know, part of the response to pandemic globally is infrastructure spend. We don't have much of that left in our market. I mean, we've got Robex, we've got Afrimat, kind of got PPC, Wilson Bailey. It's a sector that a decade ago was, you know, booming and now has vanished.
Yeah, there are a few things that happened here, and it's actually a very interesting thing to go and research. I mean, I really went down the rabbit hole with this one. But, I mean, you had this situation in 2010 where you had these massive mega projects, mainly stadiums and, and big transport infrastructure projects coming through. They built up this capability to do these mega projects. They were colluding, though, which means that the margins that they were generating on these projects were extremely high. Post 2010, you had a collapse in infrastructure investment, in part because you weren't going to host another World Cup, and then also because governments started closing the taps a little bit as South Africa's economic growth started slowing down quite significantly. You then had a situation where these guys were competing against each other, and margins were so thin that whenever they got to a mega project where there was a contract dispute, cost overruns or time overruns or anything like that, they had to fork out so much money and basically hand over their entire profit and even a little bit more to whoever granted them the contract. So that resulted in quite a few of these companies entering business rescue, and some of them won't ever exit business rescue. I'm speaking specifically around Group 5 Construction. But what you do have left in South Africa are a few of these businesses that have been privatized. So even though we're not seeing them on the JSE and they're not releasing SENS results, it doesn't mean that they're not there. And then some of these businesses have just scaled down quite a bit. So they've become leaner and meaner operations. But they could probably, they still have the institutional memory to ramp up pretty quickly. And I'm thinking specifically about Wilson Bailey Homes, and I'm thinking about Raubex on the roadside. So hopefully when our chance for a big infrastructure boom comes, we still have that left and we have the ability to scale up at some of these operations quite quickly.
Yeah, and that perfectly, I remember chatting with Marion Roberts, exactly what they've done. They've got the infrastructure division. They've kept it because they needed to keep that capacity. Last question, JP Morgan turned very bullish on SA Inc. over the weekend, a double upgrade from underweight to overweight. Their preferred was Sabania, was MTN, was Capitec, was Standard Bank, and then Standard Bank came out with a trading update yesterday that frankly was very gloomy, especially when compared to the F&B one from last week, which actually was a little bit more optimistic.
Yeah, it was actually quite interesting. It's just the way that they framed it as well, because they seemed to come out with just the way that they framed it was very negative. But when you kind of scratch through it, it really isn't that bad. I'm thinking about specifically relative to consensus expectations on earnings. So they're at -39% for the first 9 months of the year. That's to the end of September. Consensus is looking for -34% at the end of the year. If you have 3 months without major disruptions, you can still make it. But they were very focused. They were very focused on the on bad payment behavior by some of the residual kind of extensions that were left on their book. And even though it's not that bad, they just framed it to seem a little bit more negative, I think, than it should be.
Okay, so maybe they could just get a little more optimistic. Copywriters, we'll leave that there. Chantal Marx, Head Research, F&B Wealth and Investment. Appreciate the morning time.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Trading now, a result from Teresa, a PGM, and actually a PGM and chrome miner up in the Bushveld complex. We've got Phoebus Perulis on the line. Those results to year-end September, revenue up 18.4%, earnings per share up 305%, and dividend up 367%. Phoebus, morning, appreciate your time. As I said, mining in the Bushveld complex, it's both PGMs and chrome. In the PGM space, you really had both levers, or all the levers, working in your favor. The PGM basket price increased, and you were able to extract more out of your mines, and those together significantly improved the earnings into what was a really, really good period for the company.
Yes, thanks, Simon, and appreciate your time as well this morning. So, yeah, it's been an interesting period, I think, for all of us living through COVID-19, various levels of lockdown in South Africa. And you rightfully say that, you know, over the last 2 years, we've been investing quite heavily in reconfiguring our large-scale, low-cost open-pit mine to enable us to increase the output and throughput of our processing plants to maximize value from that 13-year life left that we have in our open pit. So it was very, very welcome news when we saw the PGM basket price rallying the way it did during this financial year to an average basket price of just over $1,700 per ounce. So the combination of the two increased productivity, albeit with curtailed production during the various levels of lockdown, really saw us posting some very positive results, of which we're very proud of, and in particular of our team that have dug deep, literally, and pulled out a really, really solid and importantly sustainable result going forward.
Yeah, it's sustainable, and truthfully, perhaps more than sustainable, because as you mentioned, obviously, we had that lockdown and there were restrictions. In a year without that lockdown, if we hadn't have had it, these numbers could have been better. I mean, the lockdown is completely beyond our control. Looking forward, potentially, you can do better in terms of that efficiencies.
Yeah, certainly, we've given guidance that indicates that our production last year was 142,000 PGM ounces. This year, we're targeting 160,000 ounces. And similarly, on the chrome, we produced 1.34 million tons of chrome concentrate, and we're targeting the 1.5 million ton level. So definitely upside in terms of output production. But I think the astonishing number really is that PGM basket price today, as we sit sitting at $2,500, albeit with a stronger rand, but still in dollar terms, material appreciation, and really on the back of unbelievable rhodium prices, almost doubling from the prior year, where we saw about $8,400 an ounce, currently sitting at $16,000 an ounce.
Yeah, I mean, rhodium was almost half of your PGM revenue, as you point out. Your spot was a great price, but it's twice that. Looking at rhodium, is that a price that you think is sustainable, or are you just taking the old school view, which says, you know what, with respect, I'm a miner, I will mine it, and the market will set me a price. And if they want to pay $16,000, you're going to grab it with both hands.
I think that's the pragmatic approach, and we've got great margins at $2,000 an ounce, and then it just grows as the price moves. But I really think the fundamentals around rhodium are here to stay. You know, there is an increasing demand, increasing emission standards globally. South Africa supplies 80% of the world's primary rhodium production, with certain capacity constraints from some of the major platinum producers. Pipeline inventories are stuck. There's increasing demand, increasing deficits. So I think in the short term, these prices, higher prices, I'm not going to predict exactly what they are, but I think they'll be here to stay for a while. But once supply lines normalize, I still think we're going to see higher prices, but maybe not at the levels we're seeing now.
Some sort of return to a level of normalcy, although that might be higher. Quick last question. Chrome, it's fairly significant in your life. It's not quite the PGMs and there, as you mentioned, knocking it out the park. What is the market for chrome?
So, look, we have two specific segments that we supply, one being the metallurgical grade market, which is 70% of our production, which is typically the feedstock for stainless steel. It is the ingredient that makes stainless steel stainless. South Africa is blessed with more than 70% of the world's resources, and we account for about 80 to 85% of Chinese imports. They have a massive industry that's grown exponentially, like most other industrial complexes in China, whereby I think they're over 60% of global stainless steel capacity. So our feedstocks typically end up in Indonesia and in China for stainless steel. But the balance, the 30%, is specialty grade products, which are more globally diversified and end up in the chemical industry and in the foundry industries. And those products are very important to us because they give us a premium over the metallurgical grade. So a nice balance, a nice mix of commodities. So we see ourselves as a polymetallic producer, obviously enjoying the tailwinds of high PGM prices.
Yeah, and your PGMs, your revenue, what, 86 million. Chrome coming in at 40. That's a chunky number. We'll leave that there. Phoevos Pirulis, he is CEO Tharisa. Appreciate the time.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting with Isaac Odendaal, he's investment strategist, Old Mutual Wealth. Isaac, morning, appreciate your time. I go in 2008, I remember Ben Bernanke launching quantitative easing. I remember him saying then inflation was the risk, but first he had to save the economy. Here we are, 12 years plus later. We haven't seen inflation, not in developed markets, truthfully, not even in emerging markets. Normally you would think massive stimulus. We've seen it again this year. What's happened to inflation? I mean, have we managed to tame it as a global economy?
That's a very, very good question. And of course, the big fear around 2009, 2010, 2011 was that all this money printing would lead to runaway inflation. Yeah. And in fact, it never happened. So obviously, there's something that's changed in the global economy. I mean, there are a lot of theories around secular stagnation, that there's just too much savings in the world, not enough investment opportunities, that there's aging demographics, putting downward pressure on inflation. I think globalization has also played a key role. If you just think that any single item that you want to purchase, you can purchase from many countries, and there are people who are willing to produce it cheaper. And then finally, I think technological change has really accelerated in the last decade. If you just think of what we can do now on our smartphones and so on, I think that saves a lot of time, but that also puts downward pressure on prices. It makes price comparisons much easier. Mm-hmm. So you and I can very quickly see what's the cheapest item, and that places, that kind of competition places downward pressure on prices from a retail point of view. So I think there's probably a whole bunch of things that has contributed to inflation being persistently low, and I don't think any of those factors have really gone away. And therefore, all the trillions of dollars of stimulus that we've seen in the last couple of months, I don't think that is going to be enough to get us to the kind of sustained higher inflation that a lot of investors are worried about.
Yeah, and that sustained higher inflation is still, I mean, you put out a note and you show a chart of U.S. inflation, and really, we kind of got the fears of those 70s when inflation was crazy. I remember when President Reagan came in 1981, inflation was double digit in the U.S. But that really was a time specific, and we had the oil price shocks. There was all sorts of other issues going on there, exiting the gold standard at the beginning of the decade. That really has passed us, and there really is opportunity here for just the way it's been working and the sort of independence of central banks in developed markets, of course, but also risingly so in emerging markets, to say that perhaps inflation, we're going to have some higher levels, but we're probably not going back to those 1970s levels ever again?
No, I mean, I think that particular chart of U.S. inflation, if you take the long term, I mean, the 1970s does stand out. Obviously, there were the two world wars as well. But I think the 1970s is the outlier. The periods of low inflation in between seem to be quite normal. And I think the what made the 1970s an outlier, you mentioned the oil shocks, mm-hmm. You mentioned central bank independence, but I think also you had a very, very rigid economy. So there was automatic wage increases. So if CPI is 5%, then wage increases are 6%. Mm-hmm. And you immediately run into a wage price spiral. That was broken by very high interest rates in the early 1980s, which basically caused massive recession and kind of reset the whole process. But also from that point onwards, you have globalization, you have China and India and the ex-Soviet Union countries into global labor markets. So suddenly, in developed markets, unions lost their bargaining power and couldn't compete on wage basis. That obviously had a whole bunch of other implications. But one of those was that this wage price spiral was broken for good.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. The unions losing their power is certainly significant. A quick last question. I mean, you mentioned as well that we've got JC dividend yields actually above inflation. This is the first time in a while. And that should be positive for real returns in our market over the next couple of years.
Yeah, so if you think that South African inflation is most likely in the process of converging on global low inflation, you know, and then you have an outlook for South African inflation. Look, it's going to be bumpy up and down, but more or less on a much lower trajectory than in the past. And then you look at some of the real yields that you can get from the equity market and specifically the bond market. And then those start to look quite attractive.
Yeah.
So I think there is a prospect here for decent real returns for investors. It's been a tough period the last 5 years, but I think the outlook is certainly much better.
Yeah, it has been a massively tough period, and particularly in the yields and the bonds. There's some really good rates lurking there. Isaac Odendaal, investment strategist, Old Mutual Wealth. Appreciate your early morning time. The question we're asking you today, are you worried about inflation? My sense is that there's still out there a lot of people who have concerns around it, and yet we haven't seen it. The evidence isn't there. Our local inflation has been at the bottom end of that 3-6% range for years and years, and just even with stimulus, we haven't seen it. So, question, are you worried about inflation going forward? MoneyWeb Now is brought to you by Orvis's latest investment opportunity, Medical 29. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit Orbvest.com. Orbvest SA, authorized financial service provider, license number 50483. So that question we're asking you, are you worried about inflation? Do you think it's going to rear your head? If you are worried, what do you do? Is it gold? Is that your answer there? Let us know on the Twitters at MoneyWeb, hashtag MoneyWeb now. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning at 6:30 on the MoneyWeb website or the app. Podcast every morning from 7 a.m. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie and Cordora. Thanks to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.